Around about the 1930s was the breakthrough in some ways, because the managing director's son, W.E.W. Petter, Wilfred Edward Willoughby, dear old sir, in his little company, said, "My boy will join the company and work his way up from the bottom." What he meant was something like tea boy on Monday and managing director on Friday. But he turned out to be an inspired designer. And one of the victories of the centenary is that a chap called Glyn Davis, professor in London, showed an interest in this, and I persuaded him to write a book on W.E.W. Petter called Lysander the Lightning. Because W.E.W. designed, first of all, he had a part in most of the aircraft from the 30s. He was the guy who designed the Lysander, ably assisted by a chap called Arthur Davenport. And anyway, they produced the Lysander, then the Whirlwind Fighter. And the Whirlwind Fighter was about just a little tiny bit bigger than a Spitfire, twin-engined and slightly faster. And it was designed against the idea that the Battle of Britain would get fought over France. Good old British thinking, you see. But when France capitulated and we were on our own, the idea of producing twin-engine fighters didn't make sense, because if you can get one fighter per engine instead of... if you get two fighters per engine instead of one, you've got a better arrangement. And the Whirlwind was a successful fighter. It had four 20mm cannon. Very fast, very manoeuvrable. But as I say, they didn't really need twin-engine long-range fighters. They really needed Spitfires and Hurricanes. They then produced a thing called the Welkin, which was a high-altitude fighter, because the Germans were coming over at very high altitudes in reconnaissance. And we thought it was time we put a stop to that. So that was all the activity that went on. Eventually, at the end of the war, the Wyvern was being produced, and Petter himself wasn't too involved in that, and he took high dudgeon at the helicopter idea anyway, I think, and he quit, and he went to English Electric, and there he designed the Canberra Bomber, which is probably one of the finest jet bombers for many years, and kept us going during the Cold War. And having done that, he set out the initial configuration of the Lightning. Then he left them and joined Folland, became the chief executive of Folland as well as designer, and designed the Gnat, which was the aircraft that the Red Arrows used. Around that time, his wife contracted Parkinson's, and he, at that time, was getting worried about the government's moves, cutting down the size of the industry, and all the companies like de Havilland and Hawker Siddeley and all those people disappeared. And he just left and went and joined a religious commune in France. And the man who ran this religious commune was a charlatan and fleeced him for every penny he'd got. And he died impoverished. I always thought he was the forgotten designer. So I was very keen that the Petter book should come out during the centenary. And it has. And it's the story of a man who is of the same calibre as Sidney Camm and Mitchell and all these people.